All right, you're tuning into the deep dive, and for all you future legal eagles out there who also catch Lex Plug, get ready.
Yeah, this should be interesting.
We're dissecting a fascinating case from the Fifth Circuit, United States v. Orji Nwosu from 2008. This one throws a major spotlight on a defendant in this case, an attorney who claimed ignorance when found with, well, nearly 40 pounds of cocaine.
40 pounds, yeah. That's significant.
Absolutely. So the burning question we're tackling is whether the court was right to instruct the jury on deliberate ignorance. You flag this case for us, and trust me, it's a real head scratcher.
It certainly is. This case is a prime example of how the legal system deals with that classic claim of, you know, I had no idea.
Right.
It really forces us to examine the complexities of intent and the extent to which we're responsible for not intentionally avoiding the obvious. We're going to walk through the specifics of Orji Nwosu's situation, break down the legal concept of deliberate ignorance, analyze how the Fifth Circuit reviewed the trial court's decision, and highlight the crucial takeaways, especially for those of you in law school.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty. Picture this. 2006, Houston's bustling airport. Michael Orji Nwosu, a lawyer with ties to both Philadelphia and Houston,
right,
is about to board a flight to Nigeria with a layover in London. During a routine check, customs officials stumble upon a staggering 17.94 kilograms of cocaine.
Which is, yeah, almost 40 pounds.
Exactly. And this wasn't just tossed in his bag. It was cleverly concealed inside protein powder canisters in his suitcase. I mean, almost 40 pounds. That's an unbelievable amount.
It is. And Orji Nwosu's immediate defense was that he was completely unaware of the drugs. He claimed he was simply doing a favor for an acquaintance named Samuel Ogugo.
Ogugo, right.
Apparently, the night before his flight, Ogugo dropped off these protein powder canisters at Orji Nwosu's place, asking him to take them along. Orji Nwosu insisted he had absolutely no idea what was inside.
So, you can see the central conflict here. A lawyer, of all people, claiming ignorance of a massive quantity of illegal drugs in his possession.
Exactly.
Right. But as you can imagine, the prosecution wasn't exactly convinced by this story of him being just a helpful traveler.
Not really, no.
They pointed to some pretty compelling evidence that really poked holes in his defense. For one, Orji Nwosu was a frequent flyer on this exact route, Philadelphia to Houston to London to Nigeria, and he often had extra luggage. It suggested a pattern of some kind.
Exactly. A pattern. And when the authorities questioned him, his story started to unravel a bit. Initially, he stated that he had packed the bag himself.
Which implies knowledge.
Right, which would imply he knew everything inside. But then he changed his story and said Ogugo had provided the canisters. These inconsistencies are always a major red flag for investigators and later for a jury.
Absolutely.
Then you have to consider the sheer volume and street value of the cocaine. We're talking millions of dollars.
Millions.
The idea that someone would entrust such an enormous quantity of drugs to someone who supposedly had no clue what they were carrying seems incredibly far-fetched. It really stretches the limits of believability.
Okay, so this brings us to the core legal question you mentioned. Did the trial court err by instructing the jury on deliberate ignorance?
That's the crux of the appeal, yeah.
Orji Nwosu's legal team argued that since he claimed he had no actual knowledge of the drugs, this instruction was inappropriate. However, the jury didn't buy it.
They didn't.
And found him guilty. That's what prompted his appeal to the Fifth Circuit.
Precisely. So for those of you following along, what exactly is deliberate ignorance? It's a legal principle, sometimes colorfully referred to as the ostrich instruction.
The ostrich instruction, right. Head in the sand.
Exactly. It allows a jury to find a defendant guilty if they strongly suspected they were involved in illegal activity, but intentionally avoided confirming those suspicions. Think of it this way. You can't bury your head in the sand to avoid knowing something and then claim you're innocent.
Makes sense.
However, and this is crucial, courts don't just throw this instruction around. It's reserved for specific situations where there's evidence that the defendant consciously avoided learning the truth to maintain what's often called plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability, yeah.
Essentially, maintaining a believable story of innocence by avoiding knowledge.
Okay, so the Fifth Circuit had to determine if the trial court was justified in giving that deliberate ignorance instruction to the jury. To do this, they applied a specific two-part test. What were the key components of that test?
Right. The Fifth Circuit looked at two fundamental things. First, they asked, Was there sufficient evidence to suggest that Ergin Wasu was subjectively aware of a high probability that he was involved in illegal conduct?
Subjectively aware. So what he likely suspected.
Exactly. This isn't about what a reasonable person might have suspected. It's about whether the evidence suggested that Ergin Wasu himself likely knew or strongly suspected something illegal was afoot. Second, they asked, was there evidence that he purposely avoided learning the truth?
Purposely avoided.
Did he intentionally close his eyes to what was likely happening around him? These are the two prongs that must be satisfied before a deliberate ignorance instruction is considered proper.
And based on the evidence presented, the Fifth Circuit answered yes to both of those questions. What specific pieces of evidence did they highlight in their reasoning to support those conclusions?
Well, they pointed to several key factors. Ergin Wasu's established pattern of frequent travel on the same route with extra luggage raised a significant red flag.
The pattern again?
Yes. His explanation of simply doing a favor for a relatively new acquaintance, especially considering the unusual weight of the canisters.
He mentioned they felt heavy.
Right, which he himself reportedly noted felt heavier than expected based on the label. Seemed highly improbable. The alleged urgency of Agugo's request and the somewhat illogical plan to only transport the canisters as far as London.
Just to London, not all the way.
Right, that part didn't quite add up. It further fueled the court's suspicion. And perhaps most telling, the court noted Ergin Wasu's notably calm demeanor upon his arrest.
Calm? With 40 pounds of cocaine?
Exactly. They questioned whether an innocent person, suddenly confronted with the discovery of nearly 40 pounds of cocaine in their luggage, would react with such a lack of surprise or concern. That stood out to them as potentially indicative of prior knowledge, or at least a strong suspicion of wrongdoing.
That paints a pretty damning picture. But even if the appellate court had found that the deliberate ignorance instruction was given in error, they still upheld the conviction based on something called the harmless error doctrine. Can you break down what that means?
Absolutely. The harmless error doctrine essentially says that even if a mistake occurred during the trial in this case, maybe the jury instruction of the appellate court can still uphold the conviction if that error didn't actually affect the outcome.
Didn't change the result.
Precisely. The key question is whether there was overwhelming evidence of the defendant's guilt, such that the jury would have likely convicted them regardless of the potential error. Think of it this way. Even if the judge misspoke on a minor point of law, if the evidence against the defendant is so strong that no reasonable jury could have acquitted them, the appellate court might deem the error harmless.
Harmless, okay.
And affirm the conviction.
And in Ergin Wasu's case, the Fifth Circuit determined that there was overwhelming evidence of his actual knowledge of the cocaine, irrespective of whether he deliberately avoided confirming it. What was that compelling evidence again?
The court basically reiterated the points we've already discussed.
Mm.
The sheer implausibility of his story, given the enormous quantity and value of the drugs.
The millions of dollars worth.
Exactly. Ergin Wasu's established travel history, which suggested this wasn't an isolated incident, and the inconsistencies in his statements to law enforcement.
The changing stories.
Right. The prosecution argued, and the court agreed, that it's simply not believable that someone would entrust millions of dollars worth of cocaine to a mere acquaintance without that person knowing what they were carrying. This was powerful evidence that the jury could have used to conclude that Ergin Wasu had actual knowledge of the drugs.
So actual knowledge, not just deliberate ignorance.
Right, making the deliberate ignorance instruction almost a secondary consideration in the face of such strong evidence of actual knowledge.
So for all the law students listening and, you know, anyone else curious about how the legal system works, what are the key takeaways from United States v. Ergin Wasu? What are the really important lessons here?
There are a couple of really critical lessons, I think. First, this case makes it abundantly clear that deliberate ignorance isn't some magic loophole that allows you to escape criminal liability by simply claiming you didn't ask questions.
Can't just play dumb.
Exactly. The courts require evidence of a conscious effort to avoid knowledge when there was a high probability of illegal activity. Second, your own actions and statements during an investigation can have a profound impact on your case. Inconsistent explanations and stories that simply don't add up can severely damage your credibility with the jury.
Credibility is key.
Definitely. As the Fifth Circuit itself pointed out, the circumstances supporting this instruction are rare, but here they fit. It serves as a stark reminder that willful blindness can have serious legal consequences.
And for those of you in law school, this case is a fantastic example of several key legal principles in action. We see how appellate courts meticulously review jury instructions, looking for potential errors.
Right, the review standard.
That could have prejudiced the defendant. But we also see the crucial application of the harmless error doctrine, which underscores that not every mistake made at trial will automatically lead to a reversal.
Not every error is fatal to the conviction.
Right. The ultimate focus is on whether the defendant received a fair trial and whether the jury's verdict was reasonably supported by the evidence presented. It really highlights the critical importance in legal analysis of carefully scrutinizing the specific facts of a case and how those facts relate to both actual knowledge and, in situations like this, a conscious decision to remain deliberately ignorant.
Exactly. The case perfectly illustrates the interconnectedness of factual findings and legal principles. The strength of the evidence suggesting Orjinwosu's likely actual knowledge is what ultimately allowed the appellate court to uphold the conviction, even if the deliberate ignorance instruction had been deemed questionable in isolation.
So the actual knowledge evidence was just too strong.
Pretty much. The evidence of actual knowledge essentially rendered any potential error in the deliberate ignorance instruction harmless.
So in the end, Michael Orjinwosu's conviction stood. And the consequences were severe, a 168-month prison sentence.
Over 14 years.
Yeah. It really drives home the point that in criminal law, there's a point where what you should have known, or perhaps more accurately, what you intentionally avoided knowing, can be just as legally damning as what you did explicitly know.
It does. It makes you consider the responsibility we all have to be aware of our surroundings and to not deliberately ignore clear indicators that something isn't right. Perhaps a fitting final thought for you to consider is this. In the eyes of the law, intentionally choosing not to see the truth doesn't always absolve you of responsibility for what was plainly in front of you.
A powerful note to conclude on. Thanks for this deep dive into a truly thought-provoking case.
My pleasure. It's a complex one.
Definitely. Until our next exploration, keep digging deeper into the fascinating world of law.